Off with the word.
Good morning. Today I'll be reading Psalms 68, 19, and 20. Praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. Our God is a God who saves. From the sovereign Lord comes escape from death.
Thank you, Landon, for reading the word to us this morning. If you would like to stand, please do so now. We'll lift our voices and hearts to the Lord in praise.
Open up
my hands. Heaven melts the heart of man. How amazed I am. Your glory fills the sky. A great and holy light, shining like a million stars. I'm amazed by your feet, and angels bow when you speak, so high above our greatest song, but still you call, we will come. Yeah.
world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King.
morning. John chapter 13, verse 1 says, "It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed him the full extent of his love." There's a certain fascination within John's writings, for only John, among the gospel authors, was an intimate friend of the Lord. Matthew was not among the inner four. Luke, as far as we know, never met the Lord in person. And Mark was a young man at the time of the crucifixion. Only John knew Jesus well. His writings reflect it. They are all full of the personal kinds of remembrances you find when the author writes about someone who he deeply loves. It is apt, therefore, that John begins the story of the Last Supper with the words, "He now showed them the full extent of his love." If, without having read the passage, I were to ask you, how did Jesus show the full extent of his love? Most people would probably reply, at the cross. You'd be right. This verse, therefore, shows us that the Last Supper was simply the first act in the crucifixion. It was not just simply the Passover, which happened the night before. Jesus planned this supper as part of his trip to the cross. He planned it long before, when he had Moses institute the Passover. From before time, the cross was in view, and therefore this supper was in view. In it, Jesus begins to show his love for them, not just his love, but the full extent of his love. It was as if he was saying, "Now you will see it." We see it in the Passover as a picture of redemption. We see it in the garden where Jesus wrestles with fear. We see it at the cross. Is there any greater love than a man dying for another? Look again at that verse. Not just his love and not just the full extent. Look at the verb. He showed them. He did not tell them. He did not reveal some startling new doctrine, but he showed them. The prophets revealed God's love and mirrored it as the best they were able. Jesus showed them in person. The Lord's Supper marks the full revealing. What does it then reveal to us? Love is first and foremost a sacrifice. In the animal sacrifice, the Passover was proclaimed and the death angel passed over Israel. At the cross, love himself became the sacrifice, and the death angel will pass over us. When he returns, we shall rise to meet him. The price of this victory over the grave was paid for us at Calvary. For this reason, we remember the full extent of his love. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we approach your table this morning, we thank you for showing us the full extent of your love. We ask that you will bless this bread and this juice as they remind us of your victory over the grave and the promise of your saving grace. In Jesus' name we pray.
All right. Kids are welcome to go down to junior church this morning if they want to. And apparently they all want to. If you have your Bibles, if you want to turn to Psalms 142. I'm going to be in Psalms 142 this morning as our main text. And while you're getting to that, this is a psalm that was written by David, and it says that it was written by David when he was in a cave. It's a beautiful prayer that he is crying out to God. He's obviously in a time of his life where he's going through a lot of trouble, a lot of hurt. Doesn't seem like a whole lot of people care, or he thinks a lot of people don't care what's going on with him, and he is crying out to the one who will listen. So I want to read the whole Psalm 142. It's not very long. And then talk a little bit about it as far as maybe what we need to pay attention to as a church and as Christian individuals in the world that we live in. Psalms 142. David says, I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out my complaint before him. Before him, I tell my trouble. When my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who know my way. In the path where I walk, men have hidden a snare for me. Look to my right and see, no one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life. I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. Set me free from my prison, that I may praise your name. Then the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness to me. I want to ask a few questions this morning. Have you ever been in a situation in which things just looked completely hopeless? And you looked around to others for help and maybe a little bit of concern on your behalf, and then found out they were completely indifferent, maybe completely apathetic to your problem. A lot of times the world looks at us and we see our problem, and you know, I got a lot of problems of my own. I need to take care of me before I can even think about taking care of you. Which brings about the question, have you ever cried? Doesn't anyone care what happens to me? This is where David is right now. This is where his heart is before God. Does anybody even care about me or what happens in my life? See, we are living in a generation of hurting people who want to know that someone truly cares, that somebody truly cares for them. I looked up the definition. To care for someone means to have thought or regard towards another or to feel concern about them. So after reading the scripture and thinking about, man, do we care? Do we really care as a church? Do we really care as people who are Christ followers? If we are going to be a church or a Christian person that pleases God, we are going to have to be people who care about the hurting. And let me tell you, they're all over. They're everywhere. Sometimes they sit in these pews on Sunday mornings. Sometimes they sit next to you or stand next to you at work. Sometimes they're filling up their car with gas at the gas station right next to you. There are hurting people everywhere. And there are thousands and thousands of people that just wonder, does anybody care about me? Does anybody even care about my hurt, my loneliness, my whatever? And sadly, there are people living in darkness each and every day without anyone who even pays attention to what's going on in their life, let alone if they're hurting or just need to experience some love. So I wanted to ask us several questions this morning, if you have your bulletin outlined there for the sermon. First question I just want to ask us as a church, do we see and understand the needs of others? It is not okay for Christ's followers to just walk around paying no attention to the world around you. You have been sent into the world as salt and light, a beacon for the hopeless, because you possess something the rest of the world doesn't have, Jesus. And it is not acceptable, according to Jesus, to just sit on our salvation, be happy, be joyful, singing praise all the time, while our neighbor is desperately hurting and seeking what you have, hope. So we say that we have a love for God and for our fellow believers and for the lost. But we need to ask ourselves, do we really, really love them? That word love has nothing to do with a feeling. When we look somebody in the eyes and say, I love you, when you love them with that agape love that Jesus Christ poured into you, you're saying, I care about you. I care about your hurt. I care about your need. I care about your sense of hopelessness. Romans 12:9 simply says, love must be sincere. It can't just be talk. It just can't be a slogan on your t-shirt. I have a t-shirt at home. I wear it sometimes. It says, love God, love people, live eternally. That can't just be a slogan on my t-shirt. You got to be willing and able to show it, to be sincere about it. When people say, you do love me, to be able to look them in the eye and say, yes, I do, and I will travel a road with you. Love must be sincere. If we don't know what hurts people, how can we truly love them? If you have no idea what's going on with your neighbor, if you have no idea why they're not at church on Sunday mornings, if you have no idea why their family is suffering, why they're going through a hurt, why they're going through a divorce, why they're going through a financial situation, why they're going through whatever it is they're going through, how can you possibly love them in the name of Jesus and offer them hope in his name? Which begs a lot of other questions. First, if we're trying to understand the needs of people, do we see those who are hurting first and foremost physically? Do we see the people around us who are hurting physically? And we're good at that. We're good at that as a church. Every Sunday morning, you're going to hear it today. At the end of our service, we point out people who are hurting physically, that are sick, that are going through surgeries and need this and need that, and we pray for them. A lot of times, to see people hurting physically, that's an easy one to pay attention to, and that's important for us, to pay attention. When somebody walks in the door, or you see them out in the community, and they're having a hard time carrying stuff, and what a great opportunity to show them a little bit of love. Offer some help. Walk them to their car. Take them to whatever they need, and go where they need you to go to help. So to pay attention to where people are hurting physically, but to go beyond that and pay attention, do we see those who are hurting mentally? Boy, we live in a world today where this runs rapid. Statistics state that 1 in 4 Americans, a fourth of America's population, face some form of psychological or mental challenge. That's a lot of people, which means that's not rare. That's not to be looked upon as, oh, they're strange or they've got something wrong. If 1 out of 4 people that you're walking into on a daily basis, weekly basis, is hurting mentally because of some mental struggle, do we care enough to love them? Are we aware of the special needs of these special individuals? We had the wonderful opportunity a couple weeks ago, several of us in church, to volunteer at Round Lake Christian Camp with a very special population of those who are mentally and physically disabled. Or what the world calls disabled. Boy, do they have their gifts and talents that sometimes the world doesn't like to see, but we enjoy them. Do we pay attention to what their needs are as special individuals who were created by God, just like you, and just like you have their hurts? They have their feelings. They have the need to be accepted, to be patiently born with, to have the opportunity to use what talents they do have. I encourage everybody, year after year after year, they have a talent show at camp for these people. And I say, you got to come to the talent show. These are some amazing people that do some amazing things, and they do it for Jesus. And I'm not just talking mentally disabled people, but there's just people that their minds just don't work the way yours and mine do. And we call it mental illness, you know, and that happens. And all they want is, like the rest of the world wants, is just to be accepted and known for their gifts and for their talents. Are we aware of those who have mental and physical addictions? People with drug and alcohol abuse problems in our society and all of its effects. Because rich and poor, young and old, educated and uneducated, they're all touched by addiction. And it's very easy to say, label them as a drug addict, label them as a homeless person. There's a reason why they're like that. Yeah, they're human. And they have hurts, like you have hurts. They've just chosen the wrong time, the wrong way sometimes to deal with that hurt. Do we understand their need for love, God's love? Or do we even want to understand their needs? Do we see those who are hurting emotionally around us? Many are lonely as a result of the loss of a loved one, a marital disillusion, the relocation of the home. Maybe the family had to, you know, pick up everything, move to a different location because of job or whatever, and find themselves in a community that they know nothing about and don't know anyone. I've been there, I've done that. Yeah, some of you have too. That can be emotionally distraught. And some just want a friend. Are we paying attention to people's emotional need? But if you watch Jesus, he paid attention to every one of these needs that people had, and he met them. What about those who live troubled lives? Do we look beyond their faults and see their needs? When we look at them, what do we see? When we look at the alcoholic, the person that's caught up in the sin of homosexual lifestyle, the drug addict, those with eating disorders, the convict or the ex-convict, the rebellious, do we see lost souls like Jesus sees? Or do we just see social cast-offs? Ugh. Don't want to deal with them. We got government agencies that'll deal with them. We got prisons that'll deal with them. We got hospitals that'll deal. I don't want anything to do with them. They're worse off than I am. Let me tell you, I was worse off without Jesus. Do we pay attention and look at people who live very troubled lives, lives of chaos, lives of full-on drama, and we may not understand the decisions they make? Let me tell you, those are signs of a hurting person, a person who needs Jesus. So the first question we have to have, if we're going to become a caring people for the hurting, is do we really see and understand their needs? And pay attention to their needs. Because we are not going to love people if we don't meet them where their needs are. And if we understand what their needs are, the second question to ask ourselves, or we need to ask ourselves as a church, do we have empathy for these people? All those people that I just mentioned. The ones who are hurting physically, mentally, emotionally, living troubled lives. Do we actually have empathy for them? If you don't know what I mean by empathy, does their plight or their situation actually disturb us? When you see somebody hurting, deep down, you know they are living without the hope of Jesus Christ. When you see them walking on the streets, when you see them at the store, when you see them at work, when you see them at church, do you actually care enough where their life situation disturbs you to the point where you need to get involved because Jesus would get involved? When Jesus walked and he saw these people, why do you think the scripture said he wept? He entered Jerusalem, he wept. He saw the people gathered around Lazarus' tomb, he wept. because their situations disturbed him to the point he needed to love them. He needed to care for them. We must never minimize the suffering of another human being. And it's so easy to do. Well, they got themselves in that situation. If they would just do better, make better choices with their money, they would be fine. If they would just quit drinking, they'd be fine. If they would just go back home and do what they were supposed to, they'd be fine. It's not that easy for many of them without God's agape love, without somebody that cares enough to take them by the hand and recognize them as a fellow human being that needs God's amazing, amazing grace and forgiveness. We need people who, as a part of their responsibility in life, will carry the burdens and wounds of other people. Hebrews 13:3 says, "Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering." Those are huge words. Remember people who are suffering as if it was you who was suffering. And Luke 6:36 says, "Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." We are called to be merciful to those who the world definitely doesn't show mercy to. To the people who the world definitely looks at as garbage. To be cast off, to be thrown away, to say there's no hope for them. They don't deserve your love. They don't deserve your attention. They don't deserve your time. Let them sit in their own life choices. Jesus says no. Unacceptable. I died on the cross for them, just as I died on the cross for you. You were once drowning in your own guilt. You were once drowning in your own sin. You were once sentenced to death because of your rebellion. And the same cross and the same blood that saved you from that pit of guilt is the same cross and the same blood that is going to heal an alcoholic, that's going to heal someone confused about their sexuality. It's going to heal somebody from the loss of whatever they've lost in life. But we got to have empathy. We've got to look at people's hurt to the point where it bothers you and disturbs you. And you have to do something in the name of Jesus to take on their hurt with them. Last question I want to ask us. If we are going to become a caring people, or have to become a caring people, once we understand people's needs, and once God, through the Holy Spirit, gives us a heart of empathy, and it does bother us that there's people out there hurting badly without Jesus, are we willing to show that we care for them? That's the last step. When you have the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart, there is a person in desperate need of love, and it bothers me, and to the point where I can't sleep at night because I think about that person. Do I care enough, and am I willing to show that I care? Do I show that I care by my communication? If you truly care, you should tell those in need so. It's not good enough to just walk in on church and say, "Well, everybody knows I'm a Christian. Of course I love everybody." No, not everybody knows that. It is not for us to assume that others know that we love and appreciate them. It's not hard to put your arm around somebody who, yes, may be absolutely filthy in the eyes of the world and undesirable, and to tell them, "You have worth. I love you. Your Jesus loves you. Your Creator loves you. You have value. And I want to help show you that." Make it a point to go out of your way to say, actually say, "I love you and I care about you." And then go beyond saying it and show them. Jesus said it a lot. But boy, for every time Jesus said, "I love you," he showed them 100 times. Like Reese said in his communion meditation this morning, Jesus didn't just tell them about the love of God. Scripture he read said he showed them the full extent of his love. Isn't that what we're called to do as Christ followers? Not just tell the world about Jesus' love. Show them the full extent of his love. To lay aside your own schedule, your own wants. I know what it's like. You go do full day's work, you get tired at the end of the day. The last thing you want to do is take on somebody else's problems. But you do it anyway. I'm sure Jesus had better things he could have done during the Holy Week, the last week of his life. But he did it anyway because of his love for the Father and his love for you. Show them that you care by communicating with them. We have beautiful people here that send out cards to people in the community. Some they know, some they don't know. That just says, I care about you. I'm praying for you. If you need anything, give me a call and I'll be there. There's people that make phone calls and do that. There's people that see people on the street. Place that I go get my hair cut, it seems like God puts me in those people's paths every time I go to get a haircut. Because the conversation comes up, what do you do for a living? Well, I'm a preacher. Well, that tells them I'm a Christ follower. And then they dump all their problems, which is wonderful. That tells me the world is full of people that have problems and need somebody to hear about it and need somebody to do something about it. Which brings me to my next one. We need to be willing to show them that we care by our actions, not to just say, I love you. To feel sorry for the needy is not a mark of a Christian. To help them is. To just sit around and feel sorry for people, that wasn't Jesus. That wasn't what he was about. James chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Says, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed. That's the feeling sorry for him. But does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. What good is your faith if you're not going to do anything with it? A good way to forget your troubles, your own troubles, is to help others out with theirs. Boy, talk about therapy. Free therapy. Let me tell you, when you're going through people's lives, with people in their lives, and you see their troubles, boy, do yours just melt away. I've referenced my week of camp a couple weeks ago. What a blessing it was. When I have troubles with my own children, and I have troubles with my family and hurts, and I look at them and what they have to deal with on a daily basis, boy, my troubles are nothing. I've been blessed with healthy children. I've been blessed with a family that loves Jesus. These families that we minister to can't all say that. Jesus says people will know my people by their love, by the way they love each other. That is an action. And if we're truly ready to show that we care, we're going to show it by our readiness. Being ready on the spot to care. Romans 15, 1 through 2 says, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. It is not our responsibility to pass the buck, but to step up and volunteer. And if you see a need, be ready to go. Always, always be ready to go. If you watch God from Old Testament to New Testament, he didn't give people a whole lot of notice sometimes. He just says, I'm going to send you here. I'm going to send you there. Go build an ark. What do you mean? Rain. Go to Egypt now. Be ready. When God says go, be ready to go and ready to act. And we're definitely going to show that we care by our evangelism. 2 Corinthians 4:3, this is the last one I'm going to give you. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The only people who have not heard the gospel are those who don't have anyone in their lives willing enough to share it. The only way people are going to get to know Jesus Christ, the only way people are going to be saved by his amazing grace and his sacrifice on the cross is if they hear and they know about his love. Church, you can't be silent. You can't sit in the pews on Sunday morning and expect somebody else to do the work. God says, my people will love. They will love. There's no choice in that. You take on my heart, you take on my love. You're going to lead them to the cross where they're going to find love. You're going to introduce them to the name of Jesus where they will find love. You're going to bring them to the throne of God where they're going to find grace, acceptance, appreciation for who they are, and find comfort. If we are going to be a church that is fulfilling God's purpose and growing the kingdom, we have to be a people who care for and help the hurting. That's the message this morning. My invitation is very simple. This all, like every Sunday, starts with your own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you've never before accepted him as Lord and Savior of your life, boy, today's your day. You were created by him. You were loved by him to the point where he laid his life on the cross for you. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus. Because of his perfect sacrifice, the only human that walked the face of the earth that was 100% God, but 100% human without sin, who took his sin upon for you, on himself for you. And he's the only one that has the power to remove your sin forever, forever. If you need to take the opportunity today to say, I accept that. I do believe Jesus is the Christ. I do believe he is the Son of God, sent by God himself to be my Savior, to take away my sin so I can spend an eternity with my Creator, an eternity in the midst of love, real love. Boy, today's your day. Come forward. Accept that gift. I'll pray with you. We'll get you baptized into Jesus. And you can start a life anew with him. For the rest of us, boy, listen to the message. Listen to the message this morning. Those who have given their lives to Jesus, you will be marked by the way you love. Jesus says, the world will know my people by the way they care, by the way they love, by the way they take care of one another. I want to invite you all this week, find somebody. It's not hard. They're everywhere. That's hurting. Hurting deeply. Put aside your own wants, your own plans, your own schedule. Go walk with them. Walk with them. Show them that they have value. Show them that you care. And mention the name Jesus. Mention the name Jesus and call upon his name and see if he doesn't change that life forever because you cared. Let's do that this morning. Let's ask God this morning to make us a blessing to other people. Let's stand and let's respond to the word.
Out in the byways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, making the sorrowing glad. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. Out of my life, may Jesus shine. Make me a blessing. Oh, Savior, I pray, make me blessing to someone today. If you need to make a decision, please do so right now. This was given to you in your need. Love as the Master loved you. Be to the helpless a helper indeed. Unto your mission be true. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. Out of my life, may Jesus shine. Make me a blessing.